Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Welcome to Break a Wish, the podcast where all your dreams come true, but with terrible, ironic consequences. I'm your host, Maddox Campbell. On each episode, we take a magic wish and try to come up with the perfect ironic cost. The idea is that knowing the cost, it'd be a tough call whether you take that wish or not. Previously, we had, you can disappear away, either subtly or spectacularly, from anywhere, but end up in a nearby elevator with one of your exes, romantic ex, ex-boss, ex-roommate, etc. Feels like getting out of one situation just to get into another one wasn't worth it for most of you. Final results, 66% reject on Twitter and Facebook. This week, it's our last episode. That's right, there will be no more Break-A-Wish after this. So savor it. And our wish is the only thing that makes sense to me. I wish for more wishes. I'm joined by three of my favorite guests, Anne McMaster, Kat Letwin, and Paul JP. To squeeze every last drop out of this genie. Welcome to Break a Wish for our final episode where all your dreams are going to come true for one last time, and then there'll be terrible, ironic consequences. I'm your host, Maddox Campbell. Joining me this time, we have Kat Letwin.
Hello.
We have Paul JP.
Hello.
And we have Anne McMaster.
Hey.
And we are going to be doing what seems like the best thematic thing to a final episode, which is wishing for more wishes. What are you guys' opinions of that when someone comes up to a genie and wishes for more wishes? What does that make you guys feel?
Makes me feel like they're an asshole.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Just wish
like you've already been offered all the power in the world.
Yeah.
It's like they're definitely that kid who in grade two was asked, what's the capital of Mongolia? And they're like, M.
That's
yeah, that very common thing that happened.
They're the smart ass in the room. I have total respect for that. More wishes? Smart.
I actually put it the other way. I think it shows a lack of creativity because you should be able to ask for a wish that gives you all the power of many wishes.
Yeah, that reminds me of kind of it's like crypto bros or people who are super into NFTs where I'm just like, oh, you are absolutely maligning the spirit of both art and investment. And frankly, I choose not to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yeah, don't read it. But if it happens, then we still got to be ready for it. As the evil genies we are, we've got to find a way to like turn it around on them, I guess. Mm-hmm. Find a way to like...
Like that famous Jimmy Buffett song, Turning Around. Yeah, well, I know exactly where you're going with this.
Oh, are we the Jimmys in this scenario? We're the genies.
And the Buffets. We're the Jimmys and the Buffets.
I guess we're thinking on behalf of the genies here. Because, yeah, we're assuming someone's coming up to a genie and asking for more wishes.
I would go see a band called Genie Buffett.
Really? Yeah. I would go see a band called Jimmy and the Buffets, which is a Jimmy Buffett cover band.
I want to go to the Jimmy Buffett Buffet. That's all I really care about.
The Jimmy Buffet?
Yeah, the Jimmy Buffet. Yeah.
Maybe the Genie Buffett, like Gin... Buffett, and then it's like the classic, you get like some sort of like Arabic feel, and then you also mix in some Jimmy Buffett feel and see what happens there.
Oh, off of the bay you can eat.
that would taste so weird.
Mm-hmm. Woody.
Meanwhile, the in-house band is playing Margaritaville on a zither.
Yeah, something like that. I want to hear it. I can't fully imagine it, which is why I want to hear it.
Okay, so I know what my first wish is.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, hard to turn that. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. You've asked for a weird thing. They're just going to give it to you.
Unlimited access to a Jimmy Buffett themed buffet restaurant is both the wish and the ironic curse.
Camp of what you ask for.
Or don't, whatever. We're pretty chill here.
Yeah, I feel like most...
Great episode, Maddox. Thanks for having us.
Signing off.
Yeah, we're done. Signing off. Yeah, I feel like most genies just cheat. They say, like, no wishing for more wishes. But, like, let's say we didn't think of that in advance. We got to give more wishes somehow.
I saw a webcomic recently where it was Aladdin. He's not wishing for more wishes, but he wishes for more genies.
Yeah.
And literally the last panel is just the genie being like, fuck you, Al.
That's a good loop around. It'll work. Yeah. But then you got to keep track of your genies, I guess. Cause like each of them has only three wishes. And then when they're done with the wishes, are they free to maybe get vengeance on you? I don't know.
I wonder the power dynamic with the genie, right? Is this like a situation where like, is the genie in servitude to the wisher? Like, are they in fact like, you know, their employee? Like, what's the power dynamic?
By Disney's Aladdin rules, yeah. Yeah. Which is why it's such a big deal when he uses his final wish to free genie.
Yeah.
Right. Or it could be like Wishmaster rules where they serve a larger, more powerful, darker master than yourself.
Ah, that's mm-hmm. true.
Right. But they normally are in some way inclined to grant any wishes asked of them until the wishes run out. And then they sort of have either more freedom or you don't get anything more of them afterwards.
Yeah, actually, I watched Wishmaster 3 in preparation for this. Is that not going to come up? Or
I mean, if you bring it up, I will lovely talk about it. But I haven't seen 3 yet. I saw 1 and 2. And I just didn't have occasion to go for 3. I should have.
I don't know. You know, it's not great. It doesn't have Andrew Devoff, the same guy playing the
Wishmaster. That's right. Yeah. But and also like they really missed an opportunity to call it Wishmaster 3: The Final Wish.
Well, the thing is there's a Wishmaster 4, so
I know.
But they wouldn't have known that at the time.
I mean,
and they shouldn't have assumed.
I wasn't involved in the contract negotiations. They might have already known there was going to be a 4th one.
Mm. Right. So the real ironic consequence is that someone asks for not more wishes, but more wish master.
Ooh,
yeah. Mm. And then, do they just have to suffer through the continually degrading
quality of the films as the series goes on. But they still have to watch them. They still have to continue watching.
Wishmaster 74. You wish you were dead.
I can think of worse ways to spend my final years.
Seriously? Kudos to you.
For your creativity and self-doubt.
Okay. So, wishing for more wishes. This is what we're talking about, yes. Right? Okay.
I think it's part of the job, man. I think if they're asking for more wishes, it's like you're a server at Applebee's. You're like, yes, I will bring that with fries instead of salad.
Or it's like bottomless coffee or like bottomless refills. It's just bottomless wishes.
Yeah. This is a low rent wish. Like, yeah,
You just got like a pitcher of wishes.
It's the kind of wish that makes you like reflect upon your life. How did I end up here with these people?
Right.
Ooh. Okay. I think I just had an interesting idea based on that. So right now wishes are like IOUs to the genie, right? Mm-hmm. Like the wishes are just sort of a thing that you agree upon. But what if the wishes had some sort of physical representation that you had to hold in order to spend them and thus could be lost and or stolen? And thus you can get more wishes. Like, let's say you double your wishes, but like there's a cooldown between them, so you can't spend them right away. And someone could try to steal them from you or lose them. And you had to like defend them from all the people who would want your wishes.
And they're so easy to lose. They're like AirPods.
Yeah.
Yes.
you're waiting for the elevator in your apartment and you go to like take your wish and like put it in your pocket, but it accidentally like goes down the elevator shaft or it goes down a sewer grate and it's like, oh no.
And like anyone can redeem these wishes now. Like a rat could stumble on the wish and be like, wish I had more cheese, and suddenly like the elevator's full of cheese.
Yeah, what would a rat
what a rat would wish for.
Yeah. You want to get out of this rat king. My tail has been fighting too long and all these other rat tails.
I wish I could be pizza rat.
Yeah, and then suddenly it's the rat has a whole pizza and your wish is spent and it's gone. That'd be pretty frustrating.
If I had unlimited wishes, I might wish to give pizza to a rat.
We're not saying unlimited. We just said more. So let's say like you double your allotted wishes.
But it's like
you actually have to hold them as little things.
Yeah,
they're AirPod-sized things you can lose. And you have to keep on.
Now, I wonder, too, like when you get these, like, quote, you know, not unlimited wishes, but potentially unlimited wishes. Is it that, you know, it's kind of like the law of balance that like when you take something, something else is taken away or something else is destroyed or something like that, kind of like that, the philosophical thing of like, oh, here's a box. If you press this button, you get $1 million. But like somebody dies. I mean, but then you don't know about that until suddenly like, oh shit, Trump is president. Or like, there's like a tsunami
you get
that's
one
happening.
Little black or, hair yeah, underneath your chin for like eternity. Like the more you pluck it, the more it comes back.
I mean, I would finally try to grow a beard in that case, I think.
One hair beard.
Yeah, but Max, you gotta think about me. Because, you know, I would have all these little black hairs that keep growing, but they won't match the beautiful red hue of my luscious locks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'll look ridiculous.
Yeah, consequences. I like that. I feel like there's a discomfort with infinity that's part of this question, too. Like the idea of like, oh, abundance, that's not allowed. You have to appreciate and value things. Otherwise, it's like just gluttony. Like I feel like there's this kind of like, I don't know, undertone of like, but that's not right.
That's a really good point. That's one of the reasons why gluttony is like a cardinal sin, right?
Is this about Jeff Bezos and how much we don't like how much he has?
Oh, to the answer of the first one, no, it is not religious. If it's anything about hating Jeff Bezos, then yes it is. Somehow the genie would definitely turn on Jeff Bezos.
Maybe Jeff Bezos is a genie. He does make aesthetically,
it's
come true.
Kind of got it.
Overnight shipping? Genie. He's a genie.
No, he just does like indentured servitude. Like that's all it is.
We were just talking about that.
The real
like,
witchcraft.
All of these genies are like servants, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
But he's not the genie because he's not the servant. He is using other people as sort of servants to give you value. He's
come true.
He's granting your wishes by seeping the life force out of and wealth out of others.
Okay, now there's a consequence.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is a consequence of using Amazon. Yeah. So I guess we could try to put it on your own conscience that like the more wishes you use, they somehow seep goodness from the world at large.
Yeah, like mining.
Like mining.
Oh.
Whether it's Bitcoin mining, whether it's actual like mineral extraction, it's yes, the more that you satiate your own hunger for more and largesse, the less and less other people have. I mean, I guess it's just, so clearly this already happened because we live in 2022. So I don't even know why we're debating this. I'm like, oh, no, that was the
every wish you ask for raises the global temperature by 1 degree Celsius on average.
Well, I mean, that'll
be done in 5 minutes. Yeah. All right. Well, we're all dead.
It's like, well, I finally have my own fire. Arcade room, but also I don't exist anymore. Yeah. I'm calling Bruce Springsteen because I'm on fire.
What about you can wish for more wishes, but every time you do that, you have to beat the genie in a fight.
Like Mortal Kombat?
Like mixed martial arts, video games? Or like,
oh, yeah, so it's kind of standard UFC rules. Not championship bouts, only 3 rounds.
And aren't genies kind of non-corporeal?
They're normally associated with like smoke and fire, which is why they like, yeah, that's why the Disney one has like a wispy bottom, but like I think they can have legs.
Oh, for sure. Genie, as in I dream of genie, she had legs.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I could beat her in a fight.
I guess it really does depend on which genie you get, whether you think you can take them or not.
Nah.
Ooh, maybe that's it. Maybe it's you don't get to choose which genie you fight. So, which means you can't necessarily prepare for the battle.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like in either you know, like in Ready Player One or in like Harry Potter or Hunger Games, where it's like you don't know what your exact battle is going to be and you don't know who you're up against, so you can't quite prepare. All you have are your own skills and accoutrements that are on you. So yeah, maybe you're very good at UFC fighting, and yeah, the I Dream of Genie appears, and you're just like, I'm gonna beat up this woman, or
I have to beat up Genie Hackman, or
right, or like a non-corporeal, or like a more fire and brimstone genie appears, and it's just like, oh man, I don't have like I don't have like my Ghostbusters kind of stuff. Like I can't use like energy against it, or like, oh, my fists are just going to go straight through this. I don't have a proton pack. I don't have a trap. Like, yeah, damn.
No magical weapons.
So, you know, it'd be like putting a barbarian against a wizard in a D&D fight.
Yeah. Paul, do they have their genie magic during the fight? Because that seems like that's an immediately not fair.
I mean, there's nothing in the UFC rulebook that says magic isn't allowed, so...
We're doing Air Bud rules on the UFC?
That says dog can't play basketball.
Yeah.
Damn it. I feel like even Robin Williams' genie would, like, turn me into a doll immediately and make jokes about it.
I would love to see Air Bud rules in the UFC, though. Well, you know, there's nothing in the rule book that says Brock Lesnar can't fight a giraffe.
Oh, I want to see that.
I would love to see that.
That's a version of the UFC I would actually be interested in.
I feel like both Brock Lesnar and the giraffe would be confused about how to proceed with the fight. Like,
I mean, Brock Lesnar would be confused for a few seconds, but he would get right on in there. He's a professional.
But like, where do you put, like, you can, like, he expect to punch in the face or something, but he can't reach the face,
so you go for body blows.
I guess you do body blows.
You work the body, go for the submission.
Well, and how do you get a giraffe in a chokehold?
That's
very easily.
I think you need a team.
Much easier than getting a person in a chokehold.
Do you realize, like, but having to, like, they're so tall, you'd have to, like, manage to, like, I don't know, climb up on top or parkour your way onto the giraffe and shimmy up to the part where their trachea actually is.
That's true.
Wait, isn't the whole thing trachea? It feels like a pretty big undertaking. Like,
and I'm not a giraffe scientist. Can you just go in?
It does matter a lot whether you have to strangle any point of the neck or the entire neck. Because then if it's
I'm going to look this up now. Where is a giraffe?
The ironic consequence is you have to become a giraffe expert.
Cat searching how to strangle a giraffe.
Only giraffe themed wishes.
Okay, just a thought. What if the
I just found a whole ass academic paper called Quantitative Anatomy of the Trachea of the Giraffe. So
oh my god, read it. Let's hear it. This is gonna be gold.
Do they answer how to strangle a giraffe? That's what we really care about.
Read the whole thing. Okay. This will be the first podcast to get copyright striked by JSTOR.
Summary. We describe the macroscopic and quantitative anatomy of the trachea of the giraffe, Giraffa camelopardalis, Rothschildy? Wow, Rothschild named the giraffe's trachea after him? Okay. The trachea of one juvenile male giraffe, 25 months of age, weighing 754 kilograms, was used in the study. The length of the neck was 125 centimeters. Trachea had 107 centimeters in length on its cervical part and 18 centimeters on its thoracic.
Wait, 125 centimeters? That's barely a giraffe neck. That's a little juvenile giraffe. That doesn't even count.
Oh, exactly. You'd have to know exactly where the trachea was, especially in this juvenile giraffe.
I don't want us going around strangling baby giraffes. I want a full adult giraffe fighting a man in an octagon.
And you will get it because, you know, as always, Reddit is the source for everything useful on the internet. And if someone has actually asked, is it possible to strangle a giraffe? I work in a zoo and I have tried to strangle a giraffe numerous times. Okay, red flag.
You shouldn't work in a zoo.
Is my technique wrong? And someone actually responded. Wait,
the person who worked in the zoo with the giraffe is not the expert in this scenario. They're the asker.
They are the asker, which probably says more about zoos than anything else. Strangle it at the very top from behind the jawbone. Serious answer. And then since you work in a zoo, you should go stack a lion on a tiger, place them next to your giraffe, climb up, and then try. That's just good strategy.
Guys,
well, I didn't wish for that at all.
I think this podcast has become too educational, if anything.
Okay, but also from animals.mom.com. The internal anatomy of a giraffe, petsonmom.com. Nestled within the giraffe's long neck is a 12-foot trachea. 12-foot. Okay, so here we are. When the giraffe inhales fresh air, it's impossible for it to fully expel the previous breath, resulting in oxygen-depleted air being trapped in the trachea. The giraffe compensates for this problem with the slow respiratory rate and oversized
lungs. Wow. Do you realize how stoned a giraffe could get? Damn, I'm coming back.
This giraffe should move to Toronto. We have so many dispensaries.
Oh my God, someone get that giraffe a bong.
Oh, that bong would have to be so tall.
Okay, someone Google, is it possible to get a giraffe stoned? Let's keep the educational content coming here.
Maddox, this is the last episode.
I know. And now I'm even thinking that like a giraffe-themed bong would probably sell really well and probably already exists.
Like, imagine like painting it in that kind of, in that like the pattern style, mm-hmm. and then like where you like take the choke out is like the giraffe's head. Like, oh my God, it would be so cute.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go market that now. Become rich. Podcast didn't make enough money at podcasting. My giraffe bong series. That's where the real money is.
Hang on, I'm working something here. Rastafarian. Rastafarian. I got there.
There we go.
Well, that was a journey.
All right. I think we may have gone on the giraffe tangent a little long.
Yeah, quality content.
Oh, no doubt. But I think it's time to wrap it around a little bit back to wishing for more wishes.
Right.
I think finding the genie is great. That's where how we got here somehow.
Okay. I have a serious thought. I really do. What if you can wish for more wishes, but you only live like one more year?
Oh, so it's like a, like literally you're a Make-A-Wish Foundation kid.
Wow. Oh, can you string a Make-A-Wish Foundation kid? Oh my God, that's dark. Yeah.
All I'm saying is that Brock Lesnar definitely could.
Yeah. So like, what if, so, cause we're trying to fit in, I think the idea of the finite to balance out the infinite. So what if the finite comes from your ability to make more wishes because you only have 1 year.
Right. And that'll supersede any other wish you make afterwards. You can't do sort of like time travel bullshit. You can't do
record
longevity bullshit.
I want more life. Yeah.
Yeah. No afterlife bullshit either. You get whatever afterlife you were going to get before.
We already said this was not a religious topic. So yeah.
I'm talking about quote multiverse stuff. I don't know.
Oh right.
Or being a ghost. None of that. No ghosts.
I like this idea quite a lot because the idea of like, okay, yes, you have finite time. You have only a year to wish for everything you ever could have possibly wanted. I feel like most people would go through their biggest wants and desires within like a few months, right? And then you're kind of left with, dare I say, like bereft, right? Like suddenly like, okay, I think I've stretched like the limits of my imagination, or do we go deeper? Do we find even more things that I didn't even realize that I had wanted? And then of course, as time is drawing to a close, most people just only want more.
Yeah. I feel like I would feel a lot of anxiety that I'm misusing my last year.
Isn't that a meaningful life to care about the wishes that we make, to have them matter?
But then you'd end up like, for sure, if this was like an Oscar bait movie, which it is now, at the end, like the protagonist realizes they just wish they could be around for like their daughter's 9th birthday.
And that's the one wish that something like that.
It does feel less like an Oscar bait movie and more like a circa 2011 Eddie Murphy movie.
Oh, you don't think that's Oscar bait?
I mean, Norbit was nominated. About
was it?
Yep. It was nominated for an Oscar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rooster's Wishes.
Exactly. It was best adapted screenplay.
Well, I guess I've got to ask to the party then, if you had infinite wishes but only 1 year, what do you guys think you would do with it?
I mean, I'd love it.
What would I do with the year, or would I take it?
No. What would you do with that year? Yeah.
Ooh.
I would travel around the world as much as possible. I would, considering that like I have all these wishes and only a year, but I would have unlimited funds, right? I would. Yeah, I think I would spend it like hopping around the globe. Maybe I'd go into space too. Maybe I'd just be like, yo, Bezos, like hold my beer, and then, you know, launch myself into orbit and then actually see what kills
me. And then while you're up in space, wish for another beer so that nerd Jeff Bezos is left with a beer that you're not coming back for.
Ooh, that fucking nerd. Jeff
Look,
Bezos.
I think we can all agree that at some point in the year, we're going to dunk on Jeff Bezos. But will that be our entire year, or ooh, now I'm tempted.
Well, then it would also be very interesting to use those wishes as well for like, hey, like I wish for like global equality. Like I wish for like actual like redistribution of like wealth and privilege. Like the idea of basically wishing for like, I wish we lived like the Star Trek universe. Like I wish instead of like always going for money and resources, we started concentrating on knowledge and possibility. And what if like maybe one of those wishes is like we move the needle of humanity from like get wealth, like get money and fucking fuck bitches, like, and then just move it toward like, let's make the universe a better place than where we left it. So even if you die after a year, I think that kind of, I think that'll live on. I think the legacy of that, which would change humanity, would be worth, you know, a measly little death.
Eddie
like
Murphy stars.
It's called Pluto Nash. Get on board.
I would use one of my wishes to make Pluto Nash the success that it should have been.
You've got the time. Yeah. Yeah, I do like that point. I guess I was worried about like if I was spending my last year for me, I would spend the whole year in anxiety just being like, am I wasting this? Is there something more fun I could be doing instead?
You can also wish away your anxiety.
But then am I me? Then I get into some existential stuff about identity and self. And
I would wish for 3 seasons of an Indiana Jones anime.
Like, are we talking like 10 episodes on a Netflix? Or are we talking like a full 28 episodes?
Is short
early 90s style anime.
And then like a full like 90s style Ayumi Hamasaki opening, like another guy in the anime.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what I want.
I know.
I think we've all agreed on wishes get well spent.
You know what? But in a way, we're all bettering humanity.
My gift, and my gift to the world.
And what's up?
I don't know. I'm having kind of a philosophical moment where I'm thinking, isn't this how we already live? In the sense that, don't we always have the ability to make wishes and choices? Maybe not unlimited, obviously, but to spend that year as best as we possibly can and to make the world a better place?
Mm, that's very optimistic, but no, not at all.
Time is finite.
Time remains finite already, but yeah, but we our abilities are also finite right now. This is the change would be that we'd suddenly have infinite ability to match with our finite time.
Right.
I think it's like the same as the idea of like we all have the same 24 hours in a day. But then when you break down the math of that 24 hours in a day, so if you have access to like, you know, like money or, you know, personal planes or
yeah,
as opposed to someone who like, you know, takes transit to everywhere they have to go, that those 24 hours are divvied up and spent in wildly different ways. And oftentimes those 24 hours accrue interest for those who have the kind of money to invest, you know?
Yeah. For example, also it could be more of an influence thing. Even if it isn't directly money, it could be a matter of like someone can just say something on, you know, put a post on Twitter and change the markets of the world and influence the world greatly. Whereas most of the time, no one even reads mine or even likes them. And I got some okay jokes in there. So well, like the influence of a person also is a force multiplier. Yeah, that everyone doesn't have the same amount of influence with the same act.
Right. And then the wish being kind of making all things even vis-a-vis that force multiplier. That's yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm want to hear more giraffe neck facts?
Let's get one more giraffe neck fact, because I know you're loading them up.
Giraffes have a voice box. For decades, it's been a simple answer. Nothing except for a snort or grunt every now and then. Though giraffes have a voice box, one line of thought was that due to their long necks, it was too difficult for the creatures to generate the airflow needed to vibrate their vocal folds.
So giraffes can't make noise?
USA Today, titled Scientists Finally Know What Sound a Giraffe Makes.
I feel like we could have figured that out with a lav mic.
Here's another fun giraffe fact. Lions kill giraffes by strangulation.
There you go.
Wow. Okay, so it is possible to strangle a giraffe if you're as badass as a lion.
Somebody get a hold of that zookeeper.
Don't do this for yourself. Hire the lions.
Giraffe facts.
Giraffe facts.
Giraffe facts.
Is that what you're going to be doing for your next podcast, Maddox?
It could be all giraffe facts all the time, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to do a lot of giraffe research. Probably get a job at a zoo. It seems like it's pretty easy to get a job at a zoo, so.
I mean, if the guy trying actively to strangle the animals
is still employed. Job. Yeah. Can't be that hard.
But I feel like that's such like an old timey, like 1800s, like, oh yes, I found this in the wilds of India. I shall try to strangle it with my largest in my arms. Yes, here we go. Like, it's such a, like a colonialist mindset to animals. Just being like, I shall respect dominance by killing you.
Maybe that is how you get a job at a zoo, though, is they just throw you in one of the habitats and go like subdue this animal and you've got the job.
Yeah,
and
you have to draw the name of the animal out of a hat to see random, which animal you have to fight.
If you work at a zoo, let us know if we're right.
Yes, chameleon.
Yes.
it'll take me a while to find it, but when I do.
Good luck.
Well, actually, they change color based on emotion, so you just have to piss it off to find it. Or get it horny?
So you just got to get it real worked up in the pre-fight press conference.
And then you can find it, yeah.
I'm going to win that fight before I even step in the ring.
Smack talk on a chameleon. Okay, I'm going to divert back. I've got another idea for a cost.
Okay.
I'm gonna steal what I thought was a clever post I saw on the internet first to set up the context of it. Which someone once said, like, hey, would you take, you get $1 million, but the person you hate most in the world also gets $1 million? And someone had a clever pond of like, of course, why wouldn't I want $2 million?
Yeah, I saw that.
But let's take that as a magic wish thing and have it not be so much self-doubt. So let's say you get as many wishes as you want, but for every wish you take, someone who is ideologically repugnant to you also gets a magic wish.
Oh, boy. Right.
Well, then I feel like that you just you've turned yourself into a superhero. You're a Superman who has now found their Lex Luthor.
Yeah. And you've got to outsmart them with your magics.
Yeah, yeah, you're a Batman who's found a Joker, and et cetera, et cetera. And so it becomes a, let's say, a gentleman's game, where everyone in the world are your pawns. I don't know. Like, my hubris says yes. My hubris says I could absolutely outwit the person I hate the most in this world. And here's the cool thing about this wish. I don't even know who the person I hate most in this world is. So at least that wish would elucidate that for me. Mm-hmm. And I might be surprised. There it might be like someone who I'm like, really, you? I don't even know you. But then within like 2 minutes of like interacting with them, I'd be like, yeah, no. Oh, you are the person I hate most.
Absolutely. It's the giraffe strangler.
It was him all along.
I don't know, he seems pretty cool.
Paul is teaming up with the giraffe strangler versus Cat.
Look, he's a goal-oriented individual, and he's making steps to achieve his goal. I'm not saying I agree with him, but I respect the hustle.
I don't know. This concept feels a bit too much like Facebook kind of already is, you know? It's like, I've already lived this existence, like, where, you know, everything I care about, you can just see, like, the opposite is out there. Or Twitter. It feels like wish Twitter.
Yeah, more like Twitter, where it's, yeah, outside of your own friend group, just, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything you say, there's someone who views the world differently that comes at you.
It would kind of be like being constantly forced to be on Twitter every day, all day. I don't think I'd go for that.
I agree with Kat that I think I could outwit them wish-wise, because I feel like the person who is most ideologically opposed to me would be significantly more self-interested, whereas I'm like, I would be like, all right, let's fix the whole world and stuff, which is dangerous and full of hubris, sure. But the other person would be like, I want to be infinitely rich and have a beautiful wife. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm fixing poverty for the whole world. And I'm making humans able to go to space at light speed and stuff like that. So I don't know. Even though we're opposed, I don't know if we would intersect and cancel out.
I love the idea that your idea of a beautiful wife is fixing poverty for the whole world.
No, I'm saying that's what they would do versus what I would do.
Well, I just like that, you know, the person who's most ideologically opposed to you is, you know, wants lots of money and a beautiful wife. And for some reason, this lightning bolt went into my brain of Maddox Campbell's arch nemesis is David Byrne.
I'm looking up who David Byrne is because I don't know.
He's the front man for Talking Heads.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not my beautiful house.
Oh, okay. There
we go. He'd be like, I'm letting the ears.
How did I get here?
No, we're not.
He's a weird dude. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
If I have to take him out, I will. He's easier to strangle than a giraffe.
David Byrne? I don't know.
I don't know.
He's wiry.
He's got a really tough thorax. Have you seen him sing? That is wiry man.
And I feel like he could dart around most grapple holes.
100%.
Wait for me to find out that Anne McMaster does not appreciate my thorax, but all right.
Maddox, we talked about this. Okay, but we're going to bring
up. All right, we have any other ideas on a really good, or does anyone have an idea for a really good villain for themselves? Or another terrible cost.
I'm struggling to think of who would be sort of most ideologically opposed to me. And boy, it just seems like probably just a lot of people I met in university in like first year philosophy classes.
I don't think they have to be someone who is already famous. They could also just be someone who is unknown and terrible.
Some ding dong in a basement somewhere.
Mm-hmm. They likely don't get
out
much.
Maybe someone closer to you. Like, maybe a family member. That's really the way it shakes out usually, right? We've all got that one family member where we're like, oh, seriously, Uncle John.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's two uncles I can think of.
Yeah, imagine being forever engaged in combat with them. Like, you can't win, right? Like, my son, he's always like, Mom, TikTok is great. And I'm like, no, TikTok is teaching machine learning. And he's like, I like machine learning. It gives me the content I want to see. And I'm like, I cannot imagine being, like, stuck in that argument for the rest of my life.
But you are. It's your son.
I know, Matt. We said we wouldn't talk about the tough stuff.
All right.
Like his TikTok addiction.
New consequence is you can have unlimited wishes, but every time you make a wish, Anne McMaster's son also gets to.
Trust me, that is not a world you want to live in. Oh my God.
Oh, honestly, any children getting magic.
There you go.
Sounds like a terrible, like, if it was just you get a wish and someone under the age of 12 also gets a magic wish.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
I am terrified of the consequences of that.
It was the entire premise of the show, Fairly Odd Parents. And it turned out, fine.
I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Did it turn out fine? I feel like they...
Mostly.
Everybody, I feel like he caused massive mayhem on a regular basis, and that was where the hijinks ensued from.
Yeah, but then it was always fine by the end, because he... I mean, I guess he couldn't just wish it back... Like, could he just wish it back to normal at the end of every episode?
I don't know if I saw a lot of episodes all the way through.
I feel like it would depend on the child. Like, as someone who grew up on, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? And was very aware of ironic consequences and horrifying things that can come of want and desire and need without forethought. I don't know, man. If it's a shitty kid, if it's like a shitty goddamn kid, I'd be like, oh boy, okay. Part of me would be like, I cannot wait to use my wishes to like slam this kid down. Look, I'm a petty human being. I'm a petty human being, and I've read enough like stuff online where I'm just like, oh, someone just needs to like beat the shit out of this kid, and then he's gonna understand how the real world works.
I wasn't being quite so, or at least not thinking of it so adversarial to the kids directly, because I've been teaching a lot of like 6-year-olds lately.
That's so nice. That's great.
Well, I wouldn't want to give one a nuke, is what I'm basically saying. Like, I feel like the consequences of like how shortly into the future they think things through would mean that like they would likely destroy the universe within moments of getting magic.
Moments. Yeah,
but yeah. Remember, before they can have that nuke, they have to beat a genie in a fight.
Some of these kids are wiry. Yeah, I don't know.
Scrappy, yeah.
Scrappy little guys.
Not afraid to fight dirty.
Oh, yeah.
No, not at all.
No.
Lots of biting.
Whereas genies are all bound by rules.
Obviously. UFC rules.
No biting.
I'm happy kids can't bite you through the internet.
I've always said that. You know, yeah. I've always said
Let's not work on that feature, anyone. Really? I hope that's not part of the metaverse or anything like that. They add biting.
Yeah, no, we already had that in Life, and we put that away. Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about
Maddox,
it.
Maddox, don't worry about it.
Okay.
I can tell you're thinking about it, but stop.
I am thinking about it.
Stop thinking about how, for some reason, biting functionality was added to Second Life. Don't think about the implications of that. Why that would have been added.
Well, now I can't not think about it.
Just stop. Just don't worry.
The more you tell me to stop, the more it's hard to.
Kat told you not to worry about it, and I feel like you're worrying about it.
Like, I'd hope it's a food thing, but it's probably a sex thing.
It's a sex thing.
Yeah, okay. It's a sex thing. It's a sex
thing. Also, consider this. Like, if the kid gets, like, all these wishes, and, like, yeah, it's very possible for a child to end the world in no less than 15 minutes. We've seen what they do to a house. When you also have all your own wishes, you can wish for the child to suddenly, there is that very typical wish like, oh, do you want to like go back to like elementary school, but have all the knowledge you have now? What if you like wish that on the child?
You wish the child has your knowledge, or they have the knowledge they would have?
Have the knowledge of everything like that they could ever possibly use and realize that like, oh, here's why this is, anathema, this is why this is hubris, this is why this is terrible, this is why this is coming from a good place but ends with terrible consequences. If you gave all that to a child, God, they would not be able to fight you. They would just be stratified. in a horrifying world of sudden truths and realizations. And kind of it would be great to watch.
I see what
that.
You're saying. And I counter with, no, I want the world to be Minecraft instead. And that's, and then the world is a square.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying that like they won't wish for Minecraft if you suddenly
I'm saying the child's mind will actively reject all the information trying to be put into it. As a teacher of children, they will actively reject the knowledge as it's coming in and instead immediately turn the world into a giant cube.
100% agree with Maddox, and as the mother here, my opinion is final. When Henry was six, he would research what would happen if the Earth went into the sun. Like, you know, what if a black
and
hole?
Research hands-on, yeah.
From the moon, what would happen? And he was like, Mom, this is so cool. Like, wow. Yeah, kids are pathological. Yeah.
Well, fair enough. You know what? And you're the expert on that, and I defer to your expertise, so...
What if... So you can have all the wishes you want, but you have to have a monkey paw, and every wish you make, the monkey paw gets bigger, and it has to stay in your house.
Jesus Christ!
Eventually, you just have a really big monkey paw in your living room that nobody wants to come over anymore.
Well, I feel like I'd wish for like a guest house for my monkey paw.
Nope, it's got to stay in the main house at most 40 feet from the master bedroom.
Can't be in a closet or something. I don't know, a big walking closet.
I mean, it can be in the closet for a little bit.
But it's not going to fit in there for, wishes. You know,
right.
After a certain...
Yeah, maybe we do it. It doubles in size with each wish, so it's like exponential growth.
Oh, no. That'd be rough.
Eventually, the whole world is not but a monkey paw.
Yeah, eventually, the monkey paw is palming the world like a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you got the whole in world in your hand. You got the
and
whole
that paw
world.
That paw can strangle a giraffe.
Once you wish it big enough.
Once you get there, yeah.
My neck, my hand. I'm sorry.
and my chameleon.
All right, I don't know if we came up with these one person each or whatever, because we're going a little loose here. We're getting loosey-goosey on the final episode. But let's go through the costs we have pitched and see what we're feeling about them now that we've had some time to have them ferment.
Okay.
So we got infinite wishes, but you only get 1 year of life. We've got your wishes. You have multiple wishes, but they can be lost. They're physical objects that are easy to lose. You get infinite wishes, but every wish you grant gives one to your ideological enemy or gives it to a child under the age of 12, or you got a monkey paw that keeps getting bigger and you got to keep it in your house.
Don't forget, fight the genie.
Oh, right. Fight the genie.
I'm hoping that I get to fight Shimmer and Shine from that Nick Jr. show, because they're like child genies, and I think they'd be easy to defeat.
Right, but you said they get their magic still. What kind of magic did they have? And I didn't see this.
I never watched the show on account of being an adult man, but...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So who knows how much these children genies... We've already established...
I'm assuming that I get to bring a tag team partner as well. If it's two of them. Versus me and a giraffe.
I got
how
you
are me
covered,
and a giraffe
Paul.
Ever going to coexist?
I got you covered, Paul. I got a strong thorax. I'll be in there. I'll help you out.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Maddox, it's so nice to hear you move into a place of self-acceptance.
I do.
It's beautiful.
What are we thinking about these? Yeah, which one do we think? Are there any that we can just nix out as being too easy or too hard? I feel like the can lose one is probably too easy. Like, we'll probably get a good bag.
That'd be fine, yeah. If the worst thing that can happen is a rat gets a pizza.
Yeah.
Won't be the worst thing that happens, but yeah, you're right. So if we're nixing things, in a weird way, I feel like the idea of like you only have 1 year left to live, but you can do literally anything you want, you have unlimited resources, I feel like that's too easy. At some point, all of us will only have 1 year left.
That is true. It's like if the moment comes at the right time, like the older they get, you get, the less you're paying for this, essentially, because we are all just running from the Reaper, who stalks us constantly throughout our lives.
I would feel like that would be like that to me. That's not a consequence at all. It's just like, well, that's part of life. And then I get the joy of being able to, you know, either travel or meet people I never would have been able to before, help people in a way that I never have been financially mm-hmm. able to. So I feel like that's like an easy one to like kind of put aside. Like that would, what a beautiful thing. Like, again, make a wish foundation kind of stuff.
It's yeah. like, really interesting you yeah. say that, though, because I'm kind of swinging the other way on that one of I wouldn't mm-hmm. take that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I would.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of in a good place in my life where I'm happy and I get to spend time and do fun things with people I love. And, you know, I wouldn't want to just have a year of that.
There's something in is the time itself more valuable regardless of the abilities you have within it? I guess depending on how you're feeling about your place in the world, that actually could be a huge cost. I feel like I struggle with it a little too, because I like having me around.
I like having you around too, Maddox.
Yeah. And as much as I feel like I would struggle with it, because I get the point of like, well, one of my biggest fears is, have I wasted or not used my life properly? If I know I can use it because I suddenly have infinite power, I will at least be happy knowing my legacy is secure. I will have done something useful with my life. Mm. But I also do like having a life. So I'm real middle on that one. I'm right on the line. That actually might be a pretty strong candidate.
I think so too.
Anne, how are you feeling about it?
Well, it's interesting. It occurs to me that it's sort of a question of how happy are you with the life that you have now versus the one that you could dream up for yourself, and what's more important to you, which I love, because I think that's a question that we're always asking ourselves all the time. What if we were happy with what we had?
So yeah, if you're happy with what you have, then you're saying you wouldn't want to lose all the years to come
yeah.
for improvements.
Yeah, because I think that's sort of the goal, is to be happy with what we've got. You know,
mm-hmm. Are you in Barbados right now?
Yes, I am. You know what? I didn't have a genie to make that come true. I made it come true. So I'm pretty happy with what I got. And I apologize for all the buses going by outside.
I don't think I hear buzz. I think I hear wind blowing through palm trees or something like that.
Yes, and that pounding sound is the waves. So
yeah, waves. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So it's not so much bad audio quality, but just, you know, frustrating, I guess.
Badass. All those bar buses going by, you know.
Yeah.
My questionable life choices in the background. What a lovely sound.
All right, so I think that one's a pretty good candidate. Actually, then we might end up ending on that one. Let's just go through some of the other ones and see if they're in contention or if they're straight out. Big monkey paw, honestly, as weird as that would be.
It's so dumb.
It's so dumb. I think I'm willing to nix it. I would just take the monkey paw. Fine, whatever. I can be eccentric and powerful with a
You'd
monkey
have
paw.
A really weird Halloween costume for at least 2 years.
Yeah. That's fine by me.
I'm glad to have submitted something stupid enough to be on par with any of the other stupid things I've said on any other episode I've appeared on of this show.
That's all we were hoping for. Fight the genie.
God, I'm stupid.
It may be just too much of a wild card, because we got no idea what genie's coming in, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you I think
fight a snake, man, that's different than fighting I don't know, like 12-legged deer god.
Or I guess, yeah, wait, if we're doing not just genies specifically but wish granters, then it could just be like you have to fight the shooting star.
Oh god,
and you really get hit by a meteor. Yeah, fun. I don't think there's, I think it's just too random. We have no idea what's coming out of that one. And then we've got giving wishes to enemies or children. Do we have some strong thoughts on that?
I love that enemies and children are in the same group.
Yeah.
That's great.
No, that checks out to me.
And exactly like to Anne's point earlier, it's like, yeah, man, like the kid will just go with it. Like, oh, we can make it all Minecraft and it's going to be totally cool and neat. It's like, oh, honey, no, you're 12. Oh, oh no.
Oh, no.
You do not understand. And I know, like, if I was given that kind of power when I was, like, 12 to 15, I'd be like, you know what? The world would be great if everyone just, like, fucking loved anime as much as me. And that would not have turned out well at all.
Not large scale for the whole world, no.
No, sweet, gentle Jesus Christ. So.
Oh, but now I do want to see a Jesus anime. Like, that would probably be interesting. I know it's not a religious podcast, but like the Bible done as an anime would probably be.
I'm sorry. I'm done.
A friend of mine once did go to Anime North, and her and her friend invented their own anime called Gun X Christ.
Okay.
And they dressed up in like sort of half religious, half anime wear. And went to this con and basically walked around trying to like trick gatekeeping weebs into saying like, oh yeah, I know that show that they had just made up.
Made up, yeah.
Oh my God, Paul. Oh, I love your friends. Yeah, is fucking hilarious.
It is kind of just always a competition to who can do the most obscure thing. So making up your own thing that doesn't exist is probably a way to win.
Yeah, it's great. It's like she showed me pictures of her in like this like sort of weird anime like nun outfit with a bazooka like twice the size of her torso.
There are enough nuns with bazookas in existing anime that it's very plausible.
Yeah, fair enough. So are we all watching that after this? Or?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what we're going to... I guess we're gonna have to make it and watch it together after this, but yeah.
Unlimited wishes to a child. It's a terrifying prospect if you think about it.
And it feels like that episode of Twilight Zone with like the Billy in the cornfield.
Mm.
Like the kid who took the entire town hostage and would like always say, like, well, because I have these powers, I'll send you to the cornfield if you don't do exactly as I say. And kids will do that.
The only reason kids don't kill their entire families and the planet is because they don't have the power.
As seen on the documentary The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is scarier, actually, too, than someone who is like ideologically opposed to you, because you feel like you can outsmart someone else who's just against you. But you're not creative enough to counter a child.
When it's a kid, when they haven't had everything like developing like in their minds or like as far as their arguments or feelings are concerned, that's way more scary when it's someone who's just like literally going off their impulses of their emotions.
Henry once punched me because I wouldn't let him poop in the garden.
Well, all right, so I guess we're not doing that one.
Just so you know. And Henry, if you're listening, thank you for all the years of entertainment.
Thank you for being a fan.
Are we all against child then? I guess.
Yeah, there's actually something in childhood.
That's how we're gonna phrase it.
Are we all anti-children? Is that what I'm asking? Yeah.
Yes, as a mother, yes.
I'm anti a child being in charge of things.
They must be controlled and constrained. The world is chaos.
All right, so I think we're down to the just enemy then. So your ideological enemy. Let's do some votes on that. You get infinite wishes, but you think your ideological enemy gets them too for everyone you get. Kat, do you think you can best them, whoever they may be?
I would like to think that I could. And if anything, I would be angry at myself for not taking that kind of challenge on.
Hmm.
And that would be a hard fight. But I grew up watching Sailor Moon. I grew up watching Power Rangers. I grew up watching the Mystic Knights of Tir Nanog. Like, look, me and my team, I think, can take on some of the hardest people in this world with only the power of love and friendship.
I believe in you. What about you, Paul? How do you feel about giving power to your enemies?
Oh, boy. Because, I mean, at that point, the responsibility falls on me to basically yeah. be countering everything that they're doing, and it becomes mm-hmm. less, you know, it becomes less about me having all of those wishes that I wanted, and it becomes more about essentially me being Superman and you know, having to live my life according to, I would essentially like be giving up my life to do do eternal battle with some like fucking chud who doesn't think black people deserve to vote. As long as he gets to make the wish after me, and there's like a caveat that he's not allowed to undo my wishes.
I think it would be back and forth. Like they get one every time you get one. So they get it second. They've kind of got the hammer, to use curling parlance.
Yeah.
But you get to determine if there's another one after, because you get to decide how many rounds that goes.
Boy. So I wish like, oh, you know, I wish to end world hunger. And then immediately his wish is, I wish everyone like had guns stapled to their hands.
Yeah.
At all times. Well, I'm not allowed to undo that if he's not allowed to undo mine. And then eventually it just becomes increasingly hyper-partisan.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we all have guns now. We're not allowed
on to our hands.
Down.
That's probably, we're going to lose a lot of babies to their gun hands.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd take it.
Okay.
I don't think I can handle the responsibility. I don't believe in myself as much as Kat does.
Well, okay.
All right. And Anne?
I don't know, guys. To me, this is like exactly the same as the kid one. I just don't want to give that much power to my son. You know, like everything.
Is your son your ideological?
Yes. Okay. Every day, every minute of every day. Henry, brush your teeth. No. Henry, do your homework. No. Henry, you can't eat lunch in your pajamas. You know, it's just like, yeah. I don't want to be engaged in that. He's too smart for me. That's the problem with being a parent, is you raise the next generation is smart. They're really, really smart. And they bust your ass. So yeah, he's my mortal enemy. We're locked in it. It's my role in life, is to like struggle to shape this person. And to me, it's the same question. I would not want him to have that power.
Okay. So I think that one's also pretty even, because I would be yes. Because again, I believe in myself like Kat. I think I would be better at it than, maybe I just think too little of my opponents, but I feel like I would be better at it.
Neither of us have children.
And I think I could win at being Wishmaster of the world.
Basically, the final episode of this podcast has turned into Genie War.
Yeah, Genie Wars.
Brought to you by Planned Parenthood.
Could you survive the Genie Wars?
I've watched the shit out of
the children
called Genie Wars.
So that one is even, and then so I guess I got to do a double check on the 1 year then. So infinite wishes, but 1 year. Someone was a no.
I was
for sure,
no.
Right? Paul was a no. Kat, where were you on that one?
On the on this question, I'm kind of a yes, actually.
All right, Anne, where were you on that one?
I was a philosophical no.
Philosophical no. Okay, sorry. I think I had you as like a neutral. You weren't sure. So there we go. That's a no. And then so I can, I think I'm close to the middle, but I'm a no on that one too. So I think the one we're most even with is actually giving it to our enemies.
Oh boy.
Cool.
So I think that's where we're going to leave it then. That's what we're going to put to the audience as our final wish
also,
vote.
Also, when you put this all to your enemies, and then eventually when the enemies realize like, oh my God, they are actually like so bad, but then like they weren't all that bad to begin with, but then they realize like, oh my God, what I've done is so bad, and like what you're doing is so good, and then like suddenly it's like a fan fiction where like these people come together.
I hope the Genie Wars end in peace. But all we can really hope is that the Genie Wars end soon.
You know, it's not like the Dominion War in DS1.
we don't know how the Genie Wars will end. There's too much uncertainty in these uncertain times. And also wild magic happening constantly, changing the rules of reality. So.
Yeah, and also fast food falling from the sky like in Kazam.
If someone's hungry enough, then yeah.
Yeah, as a fast food vendor in the ideological wars, like, of course, this is what I'm doing for both sides.
All right, so you can have as many wishes as you want, but for every wish you take, your ideological opposite somewhere in the world will get a wish as well. I was for this, and Kat was for this, believing we could fight the Genie Wars. Paul and Anne were not. But what about you, audience? What would you take this wish? And this is our last wish. Does anyone have any last comments about genies and wishes and magic? This is your last chance to get them out on my podcast.
I do have a question that I would like to pose to everybody about genies.
Sure.
And it ties into, sorry to sort of hijack this in terms of promoting my show. the pen is mightier, the greatest audio fan fiction and erotica podcast that there is. Basically, the question that I want to ask everybody is, who's the hottest genie?
I mean, I guess, yeah, we got to do it now.
It's the only chance I'm going to have to ask your listeners.
You just want to put out the audience, not to the people here?
Of course, to the panel. I want to know what you guys think.
I feel like I need a refresher on a list of genies, which I am now Googling. which now feels like...
played an amazing djinn in the production of Scheherazade I did for Next Stage Festival in 2014. So shout out to Chris Fowler.
Okay.
So more a local hottie genie. Cool, cool, cool.
I think for femme genie, it's got to be Genie from I Dream of Genie. Mask genie. I mean, Jafar. Once he becomes a genie.
Ooh, yeah. Jafar is way hotter than the Robin Williams genie.
Robin Williams genie is like dad bod genie.
Yeah, he's like, he's your best friend and you love him.
Yeah, Jafar genie. I
mean, but Jafar is the sexy genie.
He's got like 10 pack cum gutters. He's got it all.
Any ladies want to join us on this so I feel less uncomfortable?
No. We wanted you to just keep talking.
Okay.
I've said my piece.
Yeah, I mean, the Wishmaster genie has a real sexy voice. I'll give him that, too.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think I'm won over by Shazam. Or Kazam. From the Shaq genie.
Yeah, but do you think you could take Shaq in a fight?
No.
Probably not.
He's nowhere near tall enough. Leave that man alone.
Yeah, I guess I got to go with... Yeah, Jafar and I Dream of Genie sound good to me.
All right.
I'm sure someone will find a deeper cut for both of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, okay. Do you want me to do like my outro right now? I'll do it.
Sure. You know what? Yeah, Paul managed to get his plug in there. I'll say it again at the end. But yeah, you want to get in a plug, everyone? Let's just do them now.
Great. Okay, cool. What a joy it's been to be a part of this podcast series. I have loved every episode that I've been a part of, and what a true honor to be a part of this last one. So thank you so much, Maddox, for having me on board. Let's see. My God, like, my wishes are so dumb and stupid, and thank you for treating them with the kindness that one would reserve for like a fern plant. And as far as like plugs are concerned, it's the pandemic. I don't know. Follow me on Twitter at LaTwinka. Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, no, that's great. See, it's great if it's evergreen because someone will finish this podcast years from now and then they'll find out whatever Kat's up to then.
Yep.
What about you, Anne? What do you want to give as a last message to our audience / your pluggables?
Don't have children.
Wow.
No, do it. It's the best thing you'll ever do. I love you, Henry. And yeah, visit Barbados. You can send me hate messages at Crystal McMaster on Instagram, but living my best life. So knock yourself out.
All right. And I'll say I didn't mention it off the top, but maybe I should mention it now. I did pick the cast of this final episode on purpose. Oh, yeah. Anne and Paul were on my first episode, and I love a good bookend.
Thanks, Matt.
So you guys have wrapped. You've been here for the whole journey.
It's been really fun. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, and Paul and Kat have both been on the most episodes throughout the whole run.
I've got nothing to do.
mean, we're just riding that Wishmaster train at the top.
So, yeah, I really want to thank all of you and all my other guests for joining me on what is basically just me wanting to play with magic wishes in my head and wanting to say them out loud and share them with the world. And thank you for letting me take your dumb ideas seriously. And thank you for taking my dumb ideas seriously. That's all I could ever ask for.
We love you, Maddox. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Bye. Well, that's what we came up with. I'll post this final poll on Twitter for the next week, and wish polls from every single episode will always be open for you to vote on the Break a Wish discussion group on Facebook. I might not keep as close an eye on social media going forward, so reach out to me personally at Maddox Campbell on Twitter or at KicksNGiggles, ENT, on Instagram. You can also find my work, podcasts, writing, news about live shows, at kicksandgigglesentertainment.com. If you want more of my guests, listen to Paul JP's podcast, The Pen is Mightier, on the Pod Cavern Network. Find Kat Letwin on social media at Latwinka. And find Anne McMaster on social media at Sheikah McMaster. This is a Kicks and Giggles Entertainment production, hosted by Maddox Campbell, themed by Matthew Reed, cover art by Justin Langford, and a proud member of the Sonar Podcast Network. More podcasts at thesonarnetwork.com. Thank you to everyone who listened to this podcast, whether you've been here from the start, jumped around episode to episode, or are joining us now for your first time. Weird choice of a first episode, but you live your life. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please stay subscribed. I'll be sure to post an announcement of my next project when it's ready in this feed. And if you really enjoyed it and you want to support me as an artist, consider donating by going to the Kicks and Giggles website and clicking Support Us. I got a donation recently and it really brightened my day to know I was appreciated. Thanks, Velvet, for your contribution. Until next time, goodbye, good luck, and may all your wishes come true. Oh, well, maybe not that one wish. I just don't think you really thought through all the consequences. If you don't take all the factors into account, we could be talking about an extinction-level event. Nothing's more socially awkward.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!
Thank you to everyone who Thank you to everyone who listened to this podcast. Whether you've been here from the start, jumped around to different episodes listening only to ones with titles that you thought were interesting, or joined us for the first time. Weird choice of a first episode, but you live your life. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please stay subscribed. I'll be sure to post an announcement of my next project when it's in the when it's ready. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please stay subscribed. I'll be sure to post an announcement of my next project when it's ready in this feed. And if you really enjoyed it and want to support me as an artist, consider donating by going to kicksandgigglesentertainment.com and clicking support us. I got a donation recently and it really brightened my day to know that I was appreciated. Thanks, Velvet, for your contribution. Until next time, goodbye, good luck, and may all your wishes come true. Oh, well, maybe not that one wish. I just don't think you've really thought through all the consequences. If you don't take all the factors into account, it could lead to an extinction-level event. Nothing is more socially awkward than causing the extinction of the human race.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.